Welcome, everyone, to this edition of Business Builders Roundtable. There are many directions we can take in life. By the compass, there are 360 degrees. Our guest today, Dave Jewett, is founder of Your One Degree. Dave will share with us the importance of discovering our one degree, our unique design, and how we can use this knowledge in our work and personal lives.
Well, I want to welcome everyone to this edition of Business Builders Roundtable, where one new idea, just one, might make all the difference for you. A general format is an interview of a business builder or someone who's been there, done that, and has something of great value to share with all of us, business builders who are listening. But before I introduce our special guest for today, I want you to know about the ways you can interact with as you're listening to this on our recording. If you've registered with me, you have the call-in number and the participant code and all of that. We'll send you the updates for each new future call as it's scheduled, so you'll have the opportunity to participate then. For those of you who have not yet registered and maybe listening to our recorded conversation, simply go to the website, rodgiles.com, and submit your information. Then you can join us for live calls and be ready for anything future coming along. We also have a blog site where we interact with each other. There you can ask questions, give your take on the interview, or even make suggestions on who you'd like to hear from. Just go to blogsite.com, key in Business Builders Roundtable, and you'll find us there. We want to encourage everyone who's a business builder to participate. So remember, one good tip or suggestion, just one, might make all the difference for you. Now, without further ado, let me introduce our guest for this call. This is Dave Jewett. Dave, welcome to Business Builders Roundtable.
Glad to be here.
Well, as we mentioned in our email blast that went out, Dave, you've been a mentor and a guide to men and women for over 30 years. How did that start for you?
Well, for me, it started in my early 20s, trying to I was mentored by somebody else and helped to grow in my own faith. And I just found that I really enjoyed meeting with young men one-on-one in a coffee shop or so forth, and just listening to what they where they were and trying to help them with their progressing their faith. And as I got older, I started to see opportunities to just pass on a little perspective from these younger guys, and that there was probably a little more of a gap between my age and their age as time went on. And I saw that just these good men, young men, really needed some perspective on where they were, and we just started to develop tools to help them with that. And,
yes. When you talked with these guys early on, did they seem to have a common thread, common theme that they were looking for or asking about?
Yeah, I think at first it was, of course, very faith-oriented. How do I develop a relationship with God? How do I grow in my faith? How do I handle some tough situations in my life, in my relationships, in my especially relationships, and then also how do I just adjust to the workplace? How do I figure out how to really work well and to be consistent with my faith in the workplace?
Well, since then, you've developed, I guess, what you call a reflective or a system of reflection that you call Your One Degree. That didn't just pop out, I know. How did that develop over time?
Well, in my 40s, I got exposed to a couple different things. One was Rick Warren had a thing called SHAPE, which is an acrostic for spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And I thought that was a helpful acrostic, but I didn't feel like it really did the job for guys in the business in the marketplace.
Yeah.
In terms of how do I make decisions? Do I get on this board? Do I take this job? How do I function in this job? better? How do I say no and yes better to things, opportunities that come my way? So I kind of built around that. Then I got exposed to a book called Halftime by Bob Buford, which introduced some really neat concepts about finishing well and kind of a reflective period in a person's life, probably anywhere from mid-30s to early 50s, where they just look back and say, well, I'm glad I've done what I've done, but I just want to, what do I learn? What do I need to learn? What adjustment do I need to make? And then go forward. And just those things in combination with some assessment tools I got exposed to and started to realize that just there are some really helpful ways to give guys perspective on their life. And I went through a life coach, and it was extremely helpful to me. And he helped me much better define who I am, because I'd pretty much put myself in a box. I was a contract negotiator, supply chain guy, but there really wasn't much definition in my mind more than that. And I needed much better definition about who I was, especially as I was evolving as a man. And so that's part of these things have been developed out of my own need for myself, but also to get better at helping other men on their journey.
Yeah. What kinds of things early on did you use to find out who you really were, to express yourself, as you say?
Yeah, of course, it really helps when, as soon as you can in life, you just kind of get engaged. You try things, you know, you stretch yourself. You don't say no to things that might be a little threatening. And I think if you'll do that, that accelerates your growth, because you might fail more, but you'll learn more. And I would take, you know, tests like the Myers-Briggs, the Berkman is a great tool. The DISC, you know, I was always interested in some of those, and learning the personality types, you know, red, blue, orange, and green, you know, or even the Tim LaHaye's, choleric and phlegmatic and sanguine and I forget the last one. But so all that was helpful in kind of differentiating who I was from from the people around me, and also helping me understand I didn't need to be like them. I needed to kind of be the best person I could be. And I was raised around, I grew up around some very high-octane people who early on I realized, man, I'll never be like them. I can't be. So it helped me also further decide to just focus on developing who I am. And what's so funny is, as it turns out, those very people are some of my biggest fans. Because they've just seen, you know, I've just blossomed and flourished being who I am. And they actually refer a lot of people to what I do. That's been really fun to see.
Oh, I bet. I think of a lot of people, and I might have been one of them, that looked around and saw these people and knew I couldn't possibly be like them. And I didn't get out of that, quite frankly, until the last several years. And your One Degree was part of that journey for me. I remember you talking about your finding your One Degree. Would you share a little of that, and then follow up with what impact has that really made on your life?
Okay, sure. It was oftentimes, as you have a concept in your mind, that's starting to take shape, and you, and as you start to share it, express it. And for me, it was oftentimes drawing out something on a piece of paper over a guy over lunch or coffee. And, well, it started to become clear to me that there are these six areas of my life that are distinct, and but they're really there on purpose, and they're there on purpose to overlap with each other. And when I was drawing out this concept on this paper, I actually got put it on this diagram, and all of a sudden it all kind of came together for me that it's as I learn of all the resources I've got, there's certain ones that really, God is elevated. He's emphasized. He's spotlighted, and He's done that for a reason. Well, when I started to really look at each one of those areas myself, and then started to experiment with them, I started to see that as I got intentional about using each one of those things more and more, it got me more and more focused, and it also made me more effective. And I think a real turning point for me was when I was working in a very fast-growing company in Tulsa, about a 4,000-employee company, and I was summoned up to the chairman's office one day, which for many people might not have been a career highlight, but he was pretty tough. He was pretty demanding and a very intelligent guy, and I get summoned up there and basically am praised for who I am. He found out that I'd been hired and read through my entire employment history, and then he goes on and on to praise me, and then he puts me in front of all of his direct reports who have been really working hard at this company for 10 years, growing, and he kind of says, from now on, I want you guys making decisions without going through Dave. Well, that was like an unreal experience for me. but the turning point for me, Rod, was I realized that for 25 years I'd been primarily a reactor to the demands of the workplace, just trying to adapt, react, survive. And on the elevator ride back down, I kind of came to a crisis point, my belief, to say, am I going to start to focus in this job on my design, on those key characteristics, or am I going to keep trying to just do whatever this chairman wants me to do? And just kind of just keep reacting to the demands, because now he's got all these high expectations of me.
Yeah.
And on that elevator ride down, I just had one of those arguments with God that it never goes your way, you know? And it was there on that elevator ride. I just said, Lord, I don't know how to do this, to keep this job and to succeed by focusing on these key elements in my life, but I'm willing to go. And when I did that over the next couple years, I just saw more impact, more success, more favor than I'd ever had in my life.
Wow.
And when I left that company, that same chairman said, you know, Jewett accomplished more productive change than anybody else in the company, including him. And I never took that as true, but I just realized that there's a lesson there for me. So most intelligent guys I know they need to get focused. But most of them struggle with how do they do it. And that's what's been very helpful to me is I've learned to focus my life. I've just seen much, much more impact than I ever would have imagined.
Well, that's interesting. That's interesting. Well, your one degree now has been out in a program form for some time. I went through your program, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years ago myself, and I've done a lot of these things, and I, you know, had some questions and some concerns, but as I started to walk through the process, I found it very, very interesting. There were a lot of ahas for me due to the process. One thing I'll never forget is the history line, the life history line, and we used sticky notes to identify key moments. And we used sticky notes because if we needed to, we could move them around a little bit, make it as useful for us or as truthful for us as possible. And it was a real eye-opener because it was actually a visual layout of my life. And it took that sense in, not just the hearing, not just the thinking, but the visual part of it. That was a lot of, there were a lot of ahas there. But what other responses have you been getting from people who've been through your one-degree program?
Well, I think one is many guys in leadership have found that it has been extremely freeing to them.
Uh-huh.
As they've gotten focused on who they are, leading out of who they are,
uh-huh,
rather than on everybody else's expectations, they've just discovered freedom and have just set them loose, and they become much more effective and actually much more attractive as leaders.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Because people are longing to be around someone who really is free to be who they are in a responsible way, of course.
Yeah.
And so for leaders, it's been very freeing. It's going to be interesting because I'm going to have a chance to start coaching country leaders in Asia and in Africa this next year, and it'll be fun to see how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I was coaching a Liberian, an African man who was running this. He had been a refugee in a refugee camp for 20 years, from 12 to 32. Living on 1 gallon of water a week and sleeping on the ground. Uh-huh. And he was released, and he's come to America. He's established a ministry to Liberia to help rebuild Liberia. And but he was wearing out. And all of the stuff he was trying to do and going through this process has helped him figure out what are his best roles. And by focusing and committing to using those best roles as much as possible, a whole bunch of other people have come around him to fill in the gaps. But it started with him committing to focus on those key roles over time. On a personal level with people, I think it's helped their marriages. It's helped their relationship to their kids. It's helped them figure out how to function in their church. The bottom line is people can easily get frustrated with us if we don't know who we are. And maybe our spouses could attest to that, you know. but when we operate out of a knowledge and a confidence in who we are, it fixes a lot of issues in our life. And it helps us also to accept others for who they are. And we can actually become better at developing other people to be who they are if we'll set our mind to that. So I don't know if that answers your question or not. But
yeah, it does. It's interesting. As people, especially in leadership, come to focus on who they are as people, it frees them up. And you mentioned that when that happens, then they find other people like this gentleman from Liberia. Other people have come in to fill the gaps.
Yes,
I think that's a real dynamic that people need to get a hold of, because you know, as a leader in other organizations, I've felt that I had to fill those gaps. And that was bringing me to utter exhaustion, just like you described this other gentleman. So that's an intriguing thought, that you focus on yourself and others will fill that gap.
Well, Well, and also, as I've been coaching CEOs around the country, when they do this, it actually builds trust and builds morale within the organization. And because let's face it, oftentimes when we're on a team, business team, you know, we're maybe doing a little posing. You know, we're kind of pretending, you know, we're faking it until we make it type of thing. And when the leader says, you know, hey guys, I've just got some things in my job description that really wear me out. And then some things that energize me, and then there's some things in the middle. So I'm intentionally, as a leader, trying to move away from the things that drain me and do the things that bring the most impact. And because I want to not just be busy in this role, I want to increase my effectiveness. It really frees up the team to do the same. Because if a leader is willing to admit that he's got some things that drain him, and is trying to learn how to manage those things, it just kind of starts to set an example for them. And it's been really fun to see how morale can skyrocket as the leader really commits to do this.
Well, there's profit in there. There's joy in there. There's excitement in there. That must give you a great deal of joy to see how this system that you've created really can affect organizations. That is great. Well, is there any particular advice that you would give to someone who's out there struggling and sweating, trying to make things happen? Anything particular that you'd like to say to them?
Well, I think that don't mistake insights for life change. You know, there's a lot of good books on this topic out there, and we read them and we get kind of, yeah, that's really true, and we get kind of inspired by them. But most people need a coach.
Yes.
You know, we've learned that the high-performing athletes all have personal coaches. You know, there are a lot of smart people out there that I've coached, much more than I am, but by being willing to look at the facts of who they are and what's working, what's not working, and then bringing somebody alongside them to kind of help them get out of their box. We all put ourselves in boxes, it seems like, and we get in habits of how we lead and how we function, and we need help to get out of those habits. And to stay focused on a plan to grow. So but this process isn't for, there's no quick fix on this stuff. It's just that you commit to a process and then you stay with it. And you also need to get around other people who are doing the same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, so you kind of have the same language. And so you can kind of talk at a little different level with these people because you're kind of fighting the same battles.
Right.
And so a coach, and then be around other people who are kind of going on the same journey of growing as people, because, you know, a whole lot of people aren't. A whole lot of people, the tendency is to plateau and to kind of resign to to just being reactive to life rather than being proactive. And so we need all the help we can get.
Now, I know that your one degree is really strongly faith-based, and you've worked with a lot of churches, a lot of men's groups and women's groups, and even couples groups, I believe. Does your system seem to work in a secular environment as well?
Oh, sure. I mean, it loses some of its punch, I think, because you know, the fact is there is a designer, and
yes,
it's important to. I mean, if we ignore the designer, we're going to miss out on some of this. But Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've taken some of the tools into secular environments, and it's done well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the bottom line is the people going through this process have to have the courage and the commitment and discipline to actually start to implement some of these things. We're actually messing with how they make decisions, you know. And so to change that thought process doesn't happen overnight. You know, and of course, one of my big fears as a founder of something is that people are inoculated from the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really do the process, but they, you know, they might say, well, it didn't work or something, or it wasn't all that great. Well, a lot of times it just
didn't work for me. Yeah, It's one of those things that you'll get out of it exactly what you put into it. That's very, very interesting. Courage and discipline. I like that.
Yeah, and what I've really found very inspiring and encouraging to me is if guys will, I make a lifetime commitment to the people I coach. Mm-hmm. So I make myself accessible to them from now on, you know, and it's really great when they recycle back through, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years later, and just kind of, hey, some things have changed, and I just need to need you as a sounding board, and that's something that has proved extremely valuable to these guys, and very, very rewarding for me to continue mm-hmm. to help them on their journey to be more effective.
Yeah, it gives you feedback from, you know, the feedback loop in terms of how has your one degree really moved them to where they want to be. That's exciting. Well, what's I was on the website a while back, and I noticed that there's your one degree, the book, and your one degree, the workbook. And those are available now. Do you prefer to use those in a class setting, or what's the intent?
And here's kind of the way we think about this. Mm-hmm. Going through the workbook on your own, mm-hmm. you'll get probably 20-30% of the benefit. You know, going through a workbook in a small group over a 6 or 8 week period. Mm-hmm. You'll get about, you know, 40-50% of the benefit.
Yeah.
Going through it and then, with a coach over a period of several weeks and maybe even a couple months, and then staying engaged for a while, then you'll start to get up to 80-100%.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a guy who's probably going to be the next CEO of a large corporation here in our state, uh-huh. and he's finished a 6 week class, and he said, you know, this really has been great, but I can see I need more time with this. And, because he's, you know, he's real thoughtful. He's a really tremendous leader. And, but he realizes to really get the full benefit, he's going to kind of really have to immerse himself in this more over time. And so we'll probably start meeting to kind of reinforce, and I'll be able to ask him questions about things and kind of give him ideas. And so, you know, it's that's some things we've learned about this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you mentioned what's next is for you is Africa, training leaders in Africa. That sounds exciting. I know that there's a coaching training coming up this month, but that's for folks who have actually gone through the program. Is that correct?
Yeah, and we're actually shifting to a more of a one-on-one coaching, coach training. I think our guy is gonna start doing a web-based and over the phone, and maybe some interaction face-to-face with an individual to kind of help them. But, yeah, that's... Yeah. We really realize that developing people who want to be coaches and who have a story and who have a kind of an aptitude for it is really essential for the growth of this, because I surely can't do it all. And
Well, it must be gratifying to for you to see this development of your one degree from just napkins over a cup of coffee to some real systems that people can put in place. But you're right, nothing works better than to have a one-on-one interaction with a coach and someone who will stay with them. Well, Dave, I want to thank you so much for taking time today to take my call. We want to make sure that the listeners are able to get in touch with you. They can go to www.youronedegree.com, and you'll see a great picture of Dave. You must be in Colorado or someplace. I'm not sure. It looks great.
Yeah, Colorado Springs. Yeah, I mean, I would be glad to give them my email address if they want.
Okay. All right.
Just Dave at youronedegree.com.
Dave at youronedegree.com. So if we have some listeners that want to contact Dave personally, that would be the best way to do that, and I'm sure that you'll respond quickly to that. Well, I guess we've kind of come to the end of our time. Dave, I really want to thank you for being our guest and allowing me to pick your brain a little bit. Always a joy for me to hear how your one degree is progressing. Again, for those folks who are listening, if you want to connect with Business Builders Roundtable for future calls or participate on our private blog, contact me through rodgiles.com and give me your information so that we'll have that for you to send out. Dave, again, thanks. We're so grateful that you took the time, and just wish you all the best in the future for your one degree.
Well, thanks, Rod, and blessings on your efforts as well.
Well, thank you. Well, we're wrapped up here. Have a great evening and great weekend, everyone. Thanks for being with us. Thank you, Dave.